Welcome to Baltimore Internet Radio. I'm Dave Custy, and my guest today is Dr. Curtis Campbell. Dr. Curtis Campbell is a surgical oncologist with the Institute for Cancer Care at Mercy Medical Center. A board-certified physician, Dr. Campbell brings a particular focus on gastrointestinal and complex abdominal surgery and exceptional expertise in pancreatic and hepatobiliary surgery. Curtis A. Campbell, M.D., received his medical degree from the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine and completed his residency in general surgery at the Johns Hopkins Hospital. Dr. Campbell completed his surgical oncology and surgical critical care fellowships at the Johns Hopkins Hospital as well. As a surgical resident and a surgical oncology fellow, Dr. Campbell studied under John Cameron, M.D. After 13 years on the full-time faculty, Dr. Campbell remains an associate professor of surgery on the part-time faculty at Hopkins. Board certified, Dr. Campbell has vast experience in pancreatic and hepatobiliary surgery. He also focuses on gastrointestinal and complex abdominal surgery. Dr. Campbell is the author of numerous peer-reviewed publications, abstracts, and book chapters. An experienced clinician, teacher, and researcher, Dr. Campbell has given many invited talks and is the recipient of many awards. Dr. Campbell is a fellow of the American College of Surgeons, as well as a member of the Society of Laparoscopic Surgeons, Association for Academic Surgery, and Society for Surgery of the Alimentary Tract. Welcome to Baltimore Internet Radio, Dr. Campbell.
Thank you very much.
Tell us a little bit about yourself in your own words.
That glowing bio was pretty complete, but I went to college, actually a little liberal arts school back in the Midwest, Denison University. Some of your listeners have probably heard of that, and got instilled at that time with the dream to come out to Baltimore to go to medical school. I was fortunate enough to be able to do that and never left. Came very enamored with the area.
And that says a lot about Baltimore, huh?
That's right. After going to medical school there, at the time, really the Hopkins surgery and Hopkins GI surgery division in particular was growing at an exponential rate and really was at the forefront of GI surgery and in particular pancreatic and hepatobiliary surgery at that time. And so it became very easy to fall in love with that, with so many available mentors to look up to.
Well, how did you get interested in that field of surgery?
You know, again, I think, you know, anyone who has the good fortune to be successful can probably look back to someone or perhaps a small group of individuals who instilled in them a drive and a desire to focus in a particular area. You see someone who is doing well and really excited about what they're doing, and it's infectious.
Mm-hmm.
You look at them and say, hey, I want to do that. and that's kind of what happened.
You know, passion is contagious, isn't it?
It indeed is. So after the residency, you know, again, interest became even more solidified. That led to a fellowship in surgical oncology with a focus in hepatobiliary and pancreatic surgery. Thereafter, I did a second fellowship in surgical critical care, really motivated out of the heart more than anything else, just to try and continue to improve myself. I didn't really have a long-term intention of focusing my career in critical care.
Mm-hmm.
Or intensive care, as some of your listeners might think. And from that point forward, just was, again, fortunate enough to continue on the faculty at Hopkins. Did so for a long time until I was ready to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had a desire to explore other options beyond full-time academic surgery, but as I alluded to before, had really come to feel as though this area was my home, and so I didn't want to leave sort of the Baltimore metropolitan area, and explored several options. Was down in Annapolis for a few years, and then have come back to Baltimore, thankfully, to be here at the Mercy Medical Center.
Now, how did you find yourself at Mercy?
To be quite honest, I've known Dr. Neil Rosenshine, truly one of the physician leaders at this institution for many years since I was a medical student. When he was on the full-time faculty at Hopkins in gynecological oncology. And his practice has become pretty expansive, and he and his partners have satellites at a number of different institutions throughout the state. And he was actually my office mate down in Annapolis when he was down there seeing patients. He was doing so really in the same suite that was my office. And as I was looking to explore other options from where I was at that time, I reached out to Dr. Rosenshine, knowing that he had always been very pleased with his relationship and his practice here at Mercy.
So how long have you been now at Mercy?
About a year now.
Oh, so you're still a newbie there.
I am a newbie, yes.
And how do you like it?
You know, it really is a wonderful place. It's different than anywhere I've ever been, both from the standpoint of the individuals who are here, the physicians, the nurses, the other healthcare providers, as well as the administration. Whether that has anything to do with it being a faith-based hospital, I don't know. It's really a very friendly, compassionate, how can we make things better in environment. It's, every institution obviously provides lip service to those kinds of concepts, but it really is a wonderful place to be.
Now, you also still teach at Hopkins, right?
I do, and operate over there on occasion. I have a very dear relationship with one of the plastic surgeons over there. He and I were looking for something to do together years ago when we were both on the full-time faculty there, and we settled in on complex abdominal wall surgery and abdominal wall reconstruction for individuals who would present with devastated abdomens, bellies that had been traumatized by multiple operations or severe infections, or maybe the patient had a intestinal fistula draining out through the abdominal wall. And so we began to take those patients on and have developed a very large experience in that. And so thankfully that relationship continues with him. Once in a while I'm over there operating on one of those patients with him. But we also do those cases here at Mercy as well. But a typical day for any surgeon really is up early like any other successful individual in the hospital, seeing your patients that are here in the hospital. And then the day begins either seeing patients in clinic, which can be comprised of both new patients who need to undergo surgery or are being asked to be considered for surgery, or those who you've already operated upon. And most people, just out of convenience, and out of efficiency, will classically not operate in the same day as office patients, but sometimes that happens too.
Mm-hmm.
And then on other days, you're in the operating room. So after rounds in the morning, seeing your patients, you're in the operating room all day, trying to move things forward.
So your specialty is in pancreatic surgery, which pancreatic cancer is especially a virulent form of cancer. Can you talk about advances happened in the last 10 to 15 years?
Well, it remains very, very lethal. You know, it's the fourth leading cause of cancer-related deaths in this United States, second only to colorectal cancers with respect to cancer deaths related to the GI tract.
Mm-hmm.
About 35 to 40,000 individuals in this country every year will be diagnosed with pancreatic cancer.
And usually the diagnosis is in the latest stage of it, isn't it?
Correct. You have picked up on my next comment, which is unfortunately about that exact same number will die of pancreatic cancer every year in this country. The implication then there is that we're not winning the battle yet. Very few patients, as you just also mentioned, are candidates for surgery and come to surgery after their diagnosis has been made. the vast majority are not surgical candidates. But the surgical advances, thanks to places like Hopkins and some of my mentors, have in essence pretty much reached their end point. We are exploring the concept now of doing pancreatic surgery with minimally invasive techniques. Laparoscopic pancreatic surgery certainly is a concept, and the techniques of robot-assisted laparoscopic pancreatic surgery are also at the forefront, and those technologies are expanding for select patients. But really, the paradigm shift in the management of these individuals is going to be at the biological level. So chemotherapy advances are really what are going to drive what's going to be the next leap in increased long-term survival for these patients.
In the last couple of years, has the treatment grown leaps and bounds exponentially in cancer treatments, or is it still, like you were just saying, it's really tough?
We're using combination therapy to treat patients with pancreatic cancer and a variety of different chemotherapeutic agents that have been used successfully in other GI cancers. But I wouldn't say that it's grown leaps and bounds, but certainly the ability to treat these people aggressively with a combination of chemotherapeutic agents has increased over the last several years, yes.
Now, you mentioned before, because you still teach at Hopkins, and that you have people over there that you know pretty well. Is there a good medical network in Baltimore of people that share knowledge about, you know, like your field?
Sure. There are various Baltimore medical societies that allow for that to happen, but I think that forums like this are quite honestly ripe for the ability to share that sort of knowledge, particularly in a city like this that has, you know, outstanding institutions like Mercy and Hopkins and the University of Maryland. It would be ideal if using some sort of internet platform, if we were able to share and collaborate both at the clinical as well as at the scientific level on a number of different issues.
That's what I hope to do. I want to do different medical shows on medical updates. And initially, since I'm just starting out, I've only been up for a few weeks online, and all my shows right now are recorded, but I'm going to go, as the business develops, to live and record it. I want to have forums, like you just mentioned, with not just Baltimore area, but also around the world. Right now, I've got listeners in from California to Russia, Japan, and China, so I think that you know, we could learn from each other, hopefully, with that.
Absolutely. The whole concept of the internet is to allow for that sort of collaboration, and it's a perfect forum to do so.
Well, I hope you want to continue with this and participate yourself.
It'd be my pleasure.
Great. Talk a little bit about some of your publication research.
Well, I've had the good fortune of being part of a number of different research protocols looking at various ways to deal with the complexities of pancreatic surgery and the reconstruction of patients after the tumor's been removed. We've looked at various ways to recreate the plumbing in the hopes of minimizing complications afterwards. We've looked at ways to deliver chemotherapy and radiation therapy up front prior to patient undergoing surgery, also in a hope of increasing the number of patients who are able to have their tumor removed at the time of surgery and increase the likelihood that the patient will have a long-term survival and good outcome after the tumor has been removed. There are studies ongoing now, again, exploring outcomes in patients who undergo laparoscopic pancreatic surgery, again, in a hope of decreasing postoperative pain and improving outcomes, minimizing the trauma of the surgery itself, all while keeping risk of complications at a minimum. But we've published most recently on, like I said, ways to rearrange the GI tract at the conclusion of the operation to minimize postoperative pancreatic leak, to decrease the incidence of what's called delayed gastric emptying. We've looked at outcomes after doing countless numbers of pancreatic resections, demonstrating improved outcomes with high volume. There are clear data now which show that not only is it important that the surgeon be high in volume, but the center itself be high in volume to minimize complication and maximize the outcome that the patients are able to benefit from after surgery.
I don't know how it works, but if you do something like a publication, it goes out to some journal in your field,
right.
So other people of similar backgrounds and medical interest will be able to read that. And so, of course, I think the other way happens too. You read things that are breakthroughs and such that's happened from around the world, I assume.
Correct. But for the average individual, it's difficult to get at some of that unless you're on the PubMed website and you're facile at knowing how to work your way through that and utilize that website. It'd be nice if there was a way that those articles could be sifted through and filtered, and stuff could be presented to the public.
Yeah.
In a consistent and readable and
easily understood.
well edited fashion.
Yeah.
Right. And you see that intermittently. You'll see like a science article in the New York Times or things like that, but it's not done on a consistent basis, and that might be helpful for the general public, if nothing else, to raise awareness, and that in and of itself would be helpful.
Well, maybe we can work on that, because you'll be on my website the way that this interview will be accessed, and also we'll put on a link to Mercy Medical Center. But maybe down the road we can somehow work something like that out, because I think that would be pretty interesting for people to learn the newest processes and the newest breakthroughs in layman's terms. So maybe we can work on something like that. Now, I know you've been there only a year, but I still want to ask you, what do you see your work as it progresses in, say, anywhere from 3 months to a year down the road in the short term, and then do a little longer term, maybe 5 years down the road? What do you hope to see?
Well, I'm here to increase the presence of advanced GI surgery and pancreatic and hepatobiliary surgery here at Mercy Medical Center. And so my short-term goal is to continue to expand that. The GI medicine division here at Mercy is second to none. The liver disease and GI medical disease division here is outstanding, and it provides the ideal opportunity for surgeon or group of surgeons to capitalize on that and grow the program overall. In the longer term, we've touched on a little bit on how these patients are managed, and what do we do? How are we going to make outcomes better? Ultimately, it's going to require a multidisciplinary approach to every patient, and I would foresee down the road someday that hopefully that pancreatic cancer patients will be treated almost universally in the same way that we treat patients now with many esophageal cancers, and that is that they all get chemotherapy and radiation up front before their surgery ever even takes place. And then surgery really represents the therapy that is utilized to complete the patient's treatment rather than being the initial therapy as it is at present. And that's where you're going to see a big shift in long-term survival, and that's where you're going to see really changes in state of the art.
Currently, surgery is first, and you would like to see the day where surgery is last.
Correct. Because
that would say that.
I mean, it's really it's a little barbaric, don't you think? That the way we're treating a cancer is we're taking the patient to the operating room and we're trying to cut it out.
Right.
In that sort of scenario, biology is always going to win.
Mm-hmm.
So what we need to do eventually is hopefully attack these tumors at the biological level and do so successfully, so that surgery really represents the adjunct,
right.
rather than the mainline treatment.
Right. So by that time, what you got is the odds are better in your favor, and you've taken an upper hand.
Exactly.
Is there anything else you'd like to add, Doctor?
Well, no. As we mentioned before, I think your service and your concepts with respect to utilizing the internet to create a forum, both to educate the public and to help individuals such as myself collaborate in a positive way, is a great idea and really going to make things better as we move forward trying to attack these difficult problems.
Yes, I hope so too. Give me some contact info, and then we'll call it a day here.
Okay. You can reach me or the office, or anybody can schedule an appointment at 410-332-9294. My office is on the fourth floor of the Institute for Cancer Care here at the Mercy Medical Center on St. Paul Place.
Thank you very much, Doctor. Appreciate you coming on to Baltimore Internet Radio. I've been talking to Dr. Curtis Campbell, surgical oncologist with the Institute for Cancer Care at Mercy Medical Center. This is Dave Custy, and you're listening to Baltimore Internet Radio.